Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, it is playoff season, guys. Welcome back to another episode of High Heat. We're going to talk about some college football playoffs and some NFL playoffs. How's everybody doing today?
Playoffs? You talking about playoffs?
You play to win the game.
Yeah, here we are, and playoffs are here. Full swing going into the AFC, NFC Championship, and then off to the Super Bowl. And then it's over, and then we wait again for next year.
The refs are currently 1-0 for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Sure are. Yes.
Yeah, they're 7-0 when Clay, what's his name, or whatever the ref's head ref is. They're 7-0 when he's the head guy. And I did look up the stats. The Chiefs had 4 penalties for a total of 29, I want to say. And then the Houston had 8 for 82, I want to say. That's so, yeah.
And that BS personal foul, whatever it was, the unnecessary roughness, where the mm-hmm. two Houston guys crushed each other over Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. And what's the rule on that? Once you are declared a runner, though, you get kind of, you don't get the special treatment, though, anymore, right? When does that come into play?
Anybody but Patrick?
And
it's supposed to be, you're supposed to have, I think they're trying to put it in where you have so much yardage or area to get down before a defensive player is committed into tackling.
Mm-hmm.
So once he has initiated his attack approach, which you can tell, at that point you're subject to getting destroyed. You know, they said on that play, Pat got down late, and it should not have been a penalty. Even the commentators listening to it were getting frustrated in that game.
Who was it, Aikman, and who else?
Buck.
How, another question is, why are some plays reviewable and some aren't? I feel like if you're just going to make it, just make it to where every play is review or every penalty is reviewable. I guess to speed up the game, is that the only reason to make
if
some?
If it's deemed a targeting foul or a potential target, they're going to review it because they're trying to eliminate that from the game. But whatever. There is no area in this game that allows for the defense to have a little leeway. It's an offensive
I've seen in some college games where they call targeting and then they review it and they say there was no targeting. Why couldn't they have done that with that game?
But they should have. They should have.
So they still deemed it targeting.
Has to be called a target.
Okay.
Is that still a Mahomes hit?
Yeah, has to be called a target, or like the Texas-Arizona State game where there's a potential target, they can go back and review it. But if it's just a unnecessary roughness or something like that, that's where they get that gray area of, well, we didn't call targeting, we can't review it.
Is Mahomes a running quarterback or is he a pocket passing quarterback?
Kermit the Frog typically likes to sit back and pass, but once everybody goes deep and there's 20 yards of open area in the middle, he'll run.
Yeah, he can take advantage of his legs.
Seems like the guys that run, like when you watch Lamar Jackson, the calls are different. Even getting tackled out of bounds, they're just like, nope, you're a runner.
Exactly, and Lamar is more of a, excuse the word I'm going to say, is more a petite quarterback compared to Pat Mahomes. Mahomes has some more beef on his bones, a little thicker. Whereas Lamar is considered a juky quarterback. He's a Michael Vick type, you know.
So that comes with the territory when you're faster. That kind of comes with the territory.
Well, that's why Cam Newton never really got a lot of those calls, because he was 6'5", 250, versus 6'3", 215, you know?
It's like fouls in basketball where you're the small little point guard's going to get it over the big center, you know, no matter how. Mm-hmm. It's not equal. An equal foul doesn't look the same when it's different size players.
You know, we were watching that special on Steve McNair when he, you know, unfortunately he got killed in that murder-suicide. You know, he was the type of quarterback that's going to hunt the DBs and go truck stick them. You know, he wasn't going down. That's the type of player Cam Newton was. Whereas Michael Vick and Lamar are kind of the same guy. You know, Josh Allen, he's not going to shy away. You know, whereas Pat Mahomes, he's going to try to get down and then look immediately look back at the ref and, hey, where's my penalty? Where's my flag?
Mm-hmm. I do think that NFL needs to take some of NHL's the embellishment rule, where if you fake a penalty and you get caught faking a penalty, it's the other way where you get flagged.
NBA's doing it too.
Yes.
And I think LeBron was like the first one to get hit with it.
Doesn't surprise me.
Nope.
I could have probably made a lot of money on that if I knew that was a bet. Who's going to be the first player? Life savings. LeBron James. But, yeah, no, I think they need to definitely implement that. Definitely implement that, and that'll stop all that flopping and stuff, like hopefully what it's doing in basketball, just because it does take away from the game to where they do get it. They made it look like an art where it does look like a foul sometimes, but then they slow it down, and it's just where they never even touch them, and you're like, yeah.
Well, mister, I'm a football player. I can take the contact. Okay.
Yeah. That's a different story. That's for another episode, but... We're here on January 20th, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and also Inauguration Day, also my sister's birthday. Happy birthday, Brooke. Shout out. We all want to jump into CFP first or NFL first?
I think let's do NFL first. Since we've got those games of the past, then tonight we can lead into the CFP National Championship game.
Gotcha. What was the last bit we talked about on CFP? Did we just do a general over the whole thing, or did we get into a couple rounds?
I think we just did a pretty general update for CFP. Man, it's been a while since we've gotten together.
Yeah, it's been about a month, so there's been a lot going on.
We did it before the first round. We were making our picks and everything else, and So I think the final week of college had just wrapped up, and they had sent out the schedule, and we were making our picks on it.
Gotcha. So we could maybe hit on how the college football playoffs panned out. Just hit on that before we talk about that. But we'll start out with NFL. I'll read all the teams that made it in, and if we want to, we can go game by game or your biggest surprise or disappointments. But round one, you had Bills playing the Broncos, who the Bills end up winning against Broncos. Steelers versus Ravens. Ravens beat the Steelers. Chargers-Texans. Texans beat the Chargers. Moving on, they reseeded. So then the Bills end up playing the Ravens, and the Chiefs end up playing the Texans, where Bills and Chiefs moved on. And then on the other side of the bracket, you had Green Bay and Philly, who Philly beat Green Bay. Washington and Bucks. Washington moved on. Vikings, Rams, Rams moved on. Philly and Rams ended up playing. Philly won, beat them the other day. And then Washington, Detroit, your one seed Detroit got taken down by rookie quarterback Washington. So in your final, pretty much final four is Bills, Chiefs, Philly, Washington. Been some pretty good games so far.
Did you see the AFC divisional round with the same four teams as last year?
They're building programs now. They're building dynasties. But it's been pretty fun. It's been a pretty fun playoff series, man. What's been y'all's most fun game to watch so far? What's been the best game so far, y'all think?
I think the most exciting one to watch was the Commanders Lions game.
Yeah.
I can double down on that. It was kind of even sweet. I hated seeing the Lions lose, you know, because the Redskins are the Redskins. I mean, that's what it is. Sorry, I'm not going to say Commanders. but at the same time, our lieutenant at work is a Michigan boy, and all. Yeah, they're 15-2. They're definitely going to the Super Bowl. You know, so they lost the other night. So one of the guys wrote 15-3 real big on the board for the next morning.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
not petty at all. Not petty.
No,
at all.
But no. If Detroit doesn't lose Hutchinson, and they don't have those key injuries in within the last couple weeks of the season that just depleted their defense, I think hands down they would have gone through and just crushed some teams. When you're down to your second and third string guys, yeah, they're going to be serviceable, but at the same time, they're not used to, you know, playing against the number ones and number twos of receiving core. You know, then you got a guy in there. First off, you got two running backs in Robinson and Eckler. And then you have your QB that's a running back as well, who, as a rookie, is very smart with the ball. Like Campbell said, we have our work cut out for us. They're a very good football team. And props to Dan Quinn for immediately going in there and showing the capabilities of that team.
Yeah, it's wild, too, to see Dan Quinn going from the Cowboys to the Commanders, leading them into the playoffs. On the other side, you have the Giants, who gave up Barkley to the Eagles and has carried that team. I mean, to take the pressure off of Jalen Hurts and actually have a run game, incredible. And, I mean, not like Swift was terrible, but Barkley is in a league of his own.
Right. And Swift had been around a little bit longer than Barkley, is that right? And being in Chicago had a lot of miles on him. Was he in Chicago before all that, or I don't remember. Or
was Swift was there Detroit? This year. Swift was in
this year. Okay,
he was Detroit 2 years ago.
Yeah, and they ran the brakes off of him too.
Yeah,
there.
And then he went to Philly for a year, and then I think he went to Chicago. Now was where he was.
Which, don't get me wrong, Swift still had a serviceable year in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
but anytime you get the likes of a Derrick Henry and a Saquon Barkley, hey, you got to take it. Jerry Jones. But Saquon literally carried that team. And he has a chance to now get the rushing record for regular season and playoffs, which was carried by Terrell Davis.
Oh, gotcha. Terrell Davis, Denver Broncos.
Yes.
I think he saw where he set that in two seasons. He's top two players, top two most career or most season average yards. Mm-hmm. And he had, I don't know if it was back to back years, but it was 2 years there that he's got his name at the top of the list for sure.
Dude, he was a cheat code on Madden. Did you play Madden with him? I used to do like that first person perspective where you're like behind the face mask and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And you could run almost the same two or three plays and just break it to the house. I mean, he was a cheat code.
Yeah, that Washington-Detroit game was definitely high power. I hated seeing their secondary diminish, but, you know, that's part of the game where you have to fight through injuries. And I think they said something about how – what division are they in? Detroit, Vikings, and who else was it? Had the best division ever, and they went 0-3 in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Dan Campbell saying, I'll see you in 2 weeks. Well, he didn't realize it was going to be on a beach, but you hated seeing it. And I hope that doesn't ruin Sam Darnold, you know, his chance to get a little bit of a payday. You know, he had an outstanding year. Do the Vikings bring him back and franchise tag him to serve as a mentor for J.J. McCarthy? Or does somebody swoop in unforeseen and take him?
I think they'd be smart to franchise tag him.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he starts struggling, you throw McCarthy in there, or start off with McCarthy, and McCarthy struggles, and you could throw Sam back in there. I think it's win-win whether you start him or have him on the bench, for sure.
Yeah.
So I could see Vikings franchise tagging. But if not, who do y'all think he's going to go to? Who do you think is going to sign him?
I mean, if you want him to sit somewhere and have a backup, I think J.J. McCarthy is likely to slide right into it and go play. Tennessee Titans could certainly pick him up as they look to draft a top-end quarterback and then put Darnold in there for the first at least half the season, six games, all year. And then that'll allow Sam Darnold to get paid, too.
But you got Will Levis.
Franchise tagged would be...
Yeah, what about Mason Rudolph?
Yeah.
Two solid quarterbacks. I don't know why you'd want to pick up Sam Darnold.
I think I sent that the other day. I don't remember the teams that I sent the other day. Let me go back and look. Oh, Vikings, Raiders, Jets, Giants, Steelers, Browns, Colts.
Raiders, maybe.
And going off of, you know, an interview with Tomlin, sounds like he wants to move on from Russell.
Yeah.
You know, I still think they did Justin Fields dirty. He was 4-2 when he came back. Ride it out. You know, and I don't know if it, because he doesn't trust Justin Fields, or if it's the, oh, Russell's the veteran of the two. He's the dad, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's been there. He knows what it takes. I'm sorry, but the Steelers are a boring offense. Yeah, George Pickens, you don't know if he's going to show up or start a fight. You know, Deontay Johnson had the also, you don't know if he's going to show up or do a TikTok in the middle of the field mid-game. And then it was on his fourth team this year. You know, so it's a culture thing in Pittsburgh. Tomlin, great coach. I will tell you, he's a great coach. But that's a culture thing. You know, they're following the footsteps of Antonio Brown when he went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So I think the Steelers may be the black sheep in this. Why wouldn't they? He's already proved he can go in, he can win, he can turn his career around. You know, the couple games he played in San Francisco, I guess when Purdy got hurt a couple years ago, thought he was serviceable, he did well. The Jets, at the time he was there, are career ruiners. You know, then he went to Carolina. All you got to say is Carolina, and you know what's going on there. They had him and Baker Mayfield. Look what they did this year.
Yeah.
Baker was lining up on defense just to go have some activity at practice. But I don't know. If I were him, I'd say no to the Browns. I'd say no to the Jets and Giants for sure. So that, to me, that leaves the Vikings, Raiders, Steelers, and Colts.
Raiders are going to have a new head coach. I think Pierce got fired.
Yeah, he got canned, yep.
So whoever they hire, you know, depends, might be a good fit for him. I think that just depends on who they do hire, if he would want to go there or not. Colts would be an interesting option. You know, Colts can develop a quarterback and have had good quarterbacks in the past with Peyton. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's one of those two to where I just if I'm the Vikings, you know, you're looking to – but you can't compete if people want to throw money at him. You know, like I said, I don't know for sure how all the franchise tag stuff works. If he gets a chance to go sign with somebody else, or if they franchise tag and then he can't, not for sure how that works.
Now, if he agrees to the franchise tag, it's 1 year at like a set price, yeah. Median range of the 38
million.
How much?
Okay.
38 million.
Damn.
So he agrees to that. It's nothing like out of his control. He can control that if they get franchise tag. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in his best interest, that doesn't sound too bad to me.
No. And the reason the Colts are thrown in there is, you know, you have an aging Flacco, who is Mr. Playoff. He gets to the playoffs, he shows up. I love watching him play. I had him in fantasy for years, and he always did well. But, you know, I think he's 41, and in this league, you know, it's getting to the point that it's almost that time. But he goes in, he leads the way, and does well. I think the Colts are probably tired of the Anthony Richardson experiment. Yep. And here's why. He comes back and he looks through the sideline and taps his helmet like, I need a breather. You're the quarterback, man. You're calling plays. You're calling shots. You're the leader. Somebody sees you say you take a breather. Well, I guess we're done today. To me, right there, that is the kiss of death to an organization.
think that was their deciding factor of they're ready to move on. I think that was the defining moment that they were starting to look somewhere else.
Yeah. What a talent, Anthony Richardson. But yeah, that was definitely those, that moment when he taps himself out just shows lack of leadership.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that case, you look at the sideline and you just kind of motion like, hey, running play. Give me a running play right here. Let me hand it off. Let me catch my breath one play. Nothing wrong with that. You're not tapping out. You're in the game. Hey, give me an RPO, run play option, whatever. Or run pass option. But you can't take yourself out of the game unless you're hurt. Or you have an equipment malfunction.
Looks like the most watched game this year so far was the Eagles-Packers game. 35.9 million viewers.
Well, you got a replay of week one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good game down in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Packers, they had some injuries. I think they were down to their, third string receivers at one point?
They had two or three receivers hurt.
You know, Watson went down to, torn ACL. And they just like the Lions, they got hurt at the wrong time.
I mean,
go ahead.
Do you guys think that for the majority of the time, the best team ended up winning? I know, like you said, there was some injuries, you know, like a Detroit, Washington. But other than that, teams that weren't hurting, do you think the best teams did win, or did somebody just getting hot at the right moment, like a Washington or something?
I don't think there's anybody that's a surprise. Eagles, Commanders. Most surprising thing there is that it's two teams out of the NFC East. So I don't think anybody would have bet on. But on the other side, to see the Chiefs and the Bills there again, I mean, that to me, that should be the most watched game of the year. That would make a really good Super Bowl. It's always exciting when those two teams get together.
Sometimes it's almost the Super Bowl. It feels like, you know, that game, whoever goes on ends up, you know, winning it all. But that does feel like the Super Bowl game there.
Mm-hmm.
Just got news that the Bears are hiring Ben Johnson.
Ooh.
As their head coach. Ooh. Detroit's OC, wasn't it?
Interdivision, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun. Kind of backtrack a little bit. I think the Chargers, you know, they put six quick points and all of a sudden went stone cold. Yeah, I thought they were going to be on their way to winning that game the way they've been playing. Mm-hmm. And the way the Texans have been playing. And then it's just like all of a sudden a complete flip script and Texans took off with it. I don't know what happened to Herbert that game, throwing four picks.
Yeah, it's very
uncharacteristic, yeah. But I feel as if the Texans were the better team in the Chiefs game. They couldn't put it in the end zone.
Yeah.
They were moving the ball. They'd get down to the 20-30, then they just couldn't do anything with it. And then on one of the Fairbairn, whatever, Kamey misses. You go back and look at it at the top. It looked as if the Chiefs were offsides and they didn't call it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen something on that. But I think for purposes of reseeding, I almost feel like the NFL did that to make sure the Chiefs did move on to the next round, to the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, we need them playing, you know, Buffalo or Baltimore in the AFC Championship, because, you know, we're going to get more viewership that way. Not, you know, oh, we need Buffalo and Baltimore playing. Like, you're still going to get some viewership. Those are two very good teams. You know, but, you know, they looked at it as, well, nobody wants to watch the Texans in the AFC Championship, so why would we do that?
Yeah, there's a lot that looked like it combined for the Texans and that they just fell apart. Kicker missing field goals. Give up eight sacks. God, that's rough on C.J. Stroud. The Texans were penalized more frequently than the Chiefs, but that one is what you're saying. It's not a big surprise. Anybody that plays the Chiefs is going to get outnumbered in the
with that officiating crew.
Yeah.
You know, I think obviously the Vikings went stone cold at the wrong time. You know, Detroit completely ruined them in that first place game. It's going to be 1 or 5. Whoever wins gets 1. Whoever loses gets 5.
Wild.
And then the Rams, you subtract 3 different plays that were 200-something yards combined on 3 big runs, they're in the NFC Championship. You know, and how's Jalen Hurts' ankle going to be? He got tackled and bent over funny, and, you know, he was hobbling off the field after.
Mm-hmm. Good thing about Hurts, though, is you still have the handoff game. And, I mean, that breaks that open where you can just drop back, drop back and pass it if you need to and try to keep that defense off of them.
The pass just enough to keep them off the run.
Yeah. It just makes them non-one-dimensional anymore with Barkley back there.
For sure. I think Washington going in, having beaten them the last game of the year, I know they weren't playing their starters or whatever, but Washington going in when they did and beating Philly and played them close. Didn't they play them close the first meeting?
I think so.
And I think Washington has all the momentum in this game. They're a young team. They've got good leadership. You know, you never know when Sirianni's going to lose his mind and completely lose his team. Dan Quinn's about as level-headed as he gets. He inspires his guys. He gets them ready to go. I mean, nothing. You saw that with Dallas' defense all of a sudden. And nothing against their DC. I mean, I think he's a great coach. But Quinn just has that connect with all his guys.
Speaking of the divisional champion or conference championships, I think that puts Cowboys as the last team to be there, and that was over 30 years ago last time the Cowboys have played for a conference championship.
That's crazy. Was that 95?
Yeah. It's been since 95 since they played for a conference championship. Now that Washington and Philly's in there, that bumped them ahead of them.
Yeah. So the Giants have won a Super Bowl since then.
Mm-hmm. Your stats on that December 22nd game between Eagles and Washington, 33-36 Washington. Washington scored 22 points in the fourth quarter to win by 3.
Wow.
So, yeah, should be a fun game. If that's any inclination of what it's going to be like, should be a pretty good game.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go to the Final Four, Philly, Washington. Philly's now got home field advantage since Detroit got beat out. So I think this game, December 22nd, was at Washington. Yeah, Eagles at Washington. Now it's going to be moved over to Philly. What's your guys' prediction?
Man, it's tough. They're 1-1 in the regular season against each other, so they've seen each other. Nothing's going to be new, but they are playing in Philly, so you've got the Philly home crowd, and I think that's going to be a factor. Both stadiums are outdoors. Both stadiums susceptible to bad weather, so I don't think bad weather is really going to be the determining factor. Ground game. Brian Robinson looks good for the Redskins.
Yes!
For the Commanders. And Saquon, ground game looks strong too. This one, you know, if it's a snowy game, I don't know what it looks like, what the forecast looks like. Eagles will take it.
It'll be a run fest if it's a snowy game.
He looks fast on the ice. It was great.
I think with Eckler coming back too, he's helping Washington's run backfield. He's more that dump off, quick pass. He can elude some tackles. That 1-2 combo is pretty dirty for Washington, for sure.
So Saquon has 296 yards rushing, 4 TDs on 52 carries in those 2 games.
I think 120 of them were on 2 rushes, wasn't it?
Well, I was talking about the Washington-Philly game.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I thought you were talking about last game. That was Philly Rams.
So, and Washington 26-18 was at Philly. You know, that Washington lost. So the it's very.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Be possible this could be another upset. I mean, in the fourth quarter, Washington was winning 10-6. And then Philly scored, you know, what is that, 20 unanswered points. Saquon, 23-yard rush. Saquon, 39-yard rush. So, I mean, he's your home run hitter, dude. It's ridiculous what he does. Yeah, and Saquon, 2-yard rush, 68-yard rush in those two games for touchdowns. I'm always going to take the underdog, plus it's Philly. You can't take you can't take filth nasty. I mean, Philadelphia. It's
don't let your heart take over. Don't let your heart take over.
Listen, I'm not letting my heart take over. I think that Washington is playing good football at the right time.
Yep.
And they have a better head coach that is there, has been there, and is ready to, you know, stake his claim after that 28-3 meltdown against the Patriots, and he's with the Falcons.
I was gonna say, was he the head coach when that happened?
He was.
Maybe they go up by 30 and lose. The Eagles are a 5.5-point favorite right now. And actually, the Eagles have the best odds of making the Super Bowl. Except the worst odds.
Yeah.
East Eagles tight. 1.5 point.
Here's a little fun fact for you guys. Five quarterbacks have started conference championship games, and no rookie has won it. So you had Sean King with the Bucks, and back in 2000, he lost to the Rams. Ben Roethlisberger in 2025, he played the Patriots and lost. Joe Flacco with the Ravens played the Steelers and lost. Mark Sanchez with the Jets played the Colts and lost. And then the last one to do it was Brock Purdy in 2023, played the Eagles and lost. So no rookie quarterback has taken their team to the Super Bowl.
You know what they say, no better time than the present.
Yep.
I don't know. It'll be fun to see if Jalen Hurts is on the injury report. See what goes on there. I mean, he is two, three games removed from a concussion, so one strong hit or even hit on the icy tundra. I mean, because you know that field's going to be frozen. And I'm not wishing ill will on anybody. I'm just saying it's a possibility for anyone that lands awkwardly or bounces their head off the ground.
One of those is if you've had one, it's easier to get your second one, or if you've had two, it's easier to get your third. And like you said, that ground is going to be hard. I mean, he made it through last game against the Rams. But like you said, just one hit can do it. And when they went to show that once their backup came in, what was it, Pickett came in that one game, they looked a little wobbly from that. And then Pickett left, and then who was their third string came in?
McKee?
Was that him?
Mm-hmm.
So they start struggling. Just they don't have hurt.
Just ask Tua about those head injuries, man.
Yeah.
Who's the receiver that's had like 17 of them? For the Saints.
Olave? Is it Olave?
Yeah, Chris Olave.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah, those are filthy, and you can tell right away too. It's a scary feeling for sure. I've been there once, been knocked out once, and it's not fun. I couldn't imagine having multiple. It's not a good time at all. Mm-mm. But that's the Philly Washington side. Now to our Bills Chiefs rematch. Chiefs have two losses, one previously to the Bills. I think it was week 9. And then their last regular season game, they didn't play anybody against the Broncos and ended up losing that one pretty big. But they had their 2s and 3s starting. So their main only loss is to the Bills. What's y'all's prediction on that one?
The Bills. It's Josh Allen's year. I know this is their fourth playoff meeting in the past five seasons, and the Chiefs have been there seven times. That's incredible. Seven consecutive times in the AFC Championship game. This is Josh Allen's year. He looks good. Team looks good. They're solid. I don't, you know, the Chiefs have some magic, and they're well-coached, and they put this thing together behind Mahomes, but let's go Bills.
Go Bills. I just think without having Stephon Diggs on your team, you're better off because you don't feel compelled to have to force the ball to him or else he's going to throw a fit and blow you up on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Allen has been able to take off and flourish in that instance. He's done well. He's got his two tight ends, you know, Knox and I don't remember the other one. Anyway, but Shakir and James Cook looks good, man. They're running by that run game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he looks good. But I feel like it's gonna be a good game. They say if you can score 20 on the Chiefs, you have an awesome chance of beating them.
They're averaging what, like, yeah, they're averaging around what, 20 to 30 points. Kansas City is somewhere in there.
They're in the 20s.
20s.
They've only scored 30 points like one time this year. Or something.
23 points is their average points per game. And I think I saw where they're one of six teams that was below 25 or something like that.
They were one of so many teams that hadn't scored 30 points until like the one of the last weeks of the year.
Yeah, and they showed the other four teams or other three teams' records, and it was like the Patriots. It was like the Raiders and someone else that were like 2-15, 2-14, mm-hmm. 3-13, you know, or something like that, whatever the score comes up with. But they were the only team on that was a winning record with that many low points. So that goes to show how much they've had close games or just pulled a game out or just did just enough to get by.
Yeah, it sounds like a key to that matchup is the Bills will need to limit Mahomes off the field. And if they keep him off the field with that low-scoring offense or the way that it's shown it's low-scoring this year, that could be a key to helping the Bills take it home.
The Chiefs have scored 30 points one time in regulation this year. And that was against the Panthers in a 30-27 win. The second time was OT against the Buccaneers in a 30-24 win. So exactly 30 points.
Yeah, that's wild.
And if they shut down Kelsey or
Worthy?
Yeah, I mean, but I think shutting down Kelsey is going to be the key too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So while we're on the Chiefs, what do you think about their shenanigans against the Broncos the last part of the last game of the year?
Yeah. That's, I mean, they can prove it.
You can watch that game and prove it.
I know, but you can never prove it unless somebody spills the beans. So what Shelby's talking about for people that don't keep up with is that the Chiefs, if they beat the Broncos, then the Cincinnati Bengals would end up getting the last spot in. And if they lost, then that put the Broncos into the playoffs. And so a lot of people are saying that they said all their players, which it was a no. It didn't help them in any statistical form. They got the number one seed locked for like 3 weeks. The only thing it would help was just put their record to what, 16-1 instead of 15-2.
Mm-hmm.
But so a lot of people started saying that all the Cincinnati did everything they needed to do for the last 4 or 5 weeks. They had everything they needed to do. They had everybody lose that needed to lose, and they just needed the Chiefs to beat the Broncos to get in, and the Chiefs end up losing by what, 30 points?
38-0. 38-0. I'm sorry. Carson Wentz and the backups, you're going to score. I don't care who you are. That was a pure show of embarrassment and a straight screw you to the NFL and a mockery of the game. And people can say, no, they didn't. They were flat out scared of the Bengals. They knew the Bengals would throw it down their throats.
Bengals look good last 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dangerous.
If they would have had any sort of a defense, they'd be the number one seed. And you could have written it off that if the
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Lions would have stayed healthy and the Bengals had a defense that stayed healthy. It would have been a blue and orange Super Bowl.
Yeah, but it's not. And,
no.
And Andy Reid does have a history of resting players in similar situations. They secured the number one seed. Did the number one seed on the NFC side do the same thing?
Yeah, and I'm not saying, you know, that wasn't the right thing to do. My problem is these guys are professionals. You made the NFL for a reason. But you turned around and you don't even make an attempt to try to move the ball.
Yeah.
That's where my issue is. If you go out and you lose 27-14, 27-17, nobody says a word. But the fact that you go out and get blown out of the water 38-0 in a situation where it's like, okay, this team, if we win, this team that could very easily knock us out in a heartbeat gets in. Or if we lose, this team over here that, you know, if we're playing all our starters, we should win. Which they should have lost to Denver twice this year. Then, you know, it's just one of those deals that kind of rubs me the wrong way. But that's neither here nor there. It is what it is. It ain't what it ain't. We're not going to make it what it isn't.
Sure. And the Eagles did the same thing. They rested a lot of their key players. They just happened to still beat the Giants because they're that bad.
it's the Giants. I don't know how Daboll still has a job. If McCarthy lost his, how does Daboll keep his?
I don't know how that GM's not fired for the Giants.
That owner's always walking lighter every day. So it's that's how.
Hmm. Yeah. So, Chiefs, Bills. Did we ever say who y'all were? Y'all said the Bills, right? Both the Bills.
Bills.
Yeah. That's what I'm rooting for. But, you know, just the Chief Magic, seven years in a row in the conference championship, or their side championship. They won what? They're going for the first ever three-peat.
Mm-hmm.
First ever three-peat. I don't know how Kelce always got open with the Texans. It seemed like when they needed him, he always found a way to get open. But so y'all guys have Bills, Washington, Shelby. You're not going to root for Philly?
I'm going to root for Philly. If Philly had a different coach, maybe I'd root for him. But I cannot stand Sirianni. Like, if Dallas would have got Sirianni, I'd never watch him again.
Trey, who you got in the finals?
Go Commanders Bills.
Ooh, Commanders Bills.
And that's in spirit of how the college football playoffs went. I was picking a lot of chalk going in out of the gate. That was a fine move. And then there towards the end, hey, here we go, Ohio State and Notre Dame. So
yeah. I'll go Philly Chiefs just go opposite of you guys.
Oh, we're gonna have a replay of what last year's Super Bowl?
Yeah. So we'll see.
I guess Philly should get Nick Foles to come back and
we'll lead them to victory. Him.
Yeah.
I'll go realistically, I will say Philly's Bills. Realistically. So I say the Washington Magic runs out, Chiefs Magic runs out. They've been on the edge from day one. Feels like every game's been by the, you know, skin of their teeth. And so I'll go Philly Bills.
And I can agree with that. You know, I can see Philly and Bills being in it. But for the heart of it and heart of everything, I cannot root for Philly. So I'm still saying Bills, Washington.
Yeah. I'll probably be rooting for Washington, just seeing, you know, like the underdog, like Jaden Daniels. and how that team's come through and done what they've done. So who I root for doesn't matter. I try to go with, you know, my educated guess and then who I'm actually rooting for. So it'll be fun either way, if anything, these playoffs show. It's going to be a great next two games. Looking forward to it and looking forward to some Super Bowl parties too.
Tell you the game that I was that I wanted to see was Lions and Eagles. Just if both teams have stayed healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Sonic and Knuckles back there for the Lions. Then you got Saquon, who's a mixture of both. You know, but that would have been a battle of last man standing.
Mm-hmm.
Who makes the one less mistake? Who converts that one fourth down?
Yeah. That'd have been a fun game to watch. But that's our NFL playoffs. We're going to dart over to the CFP. Does anybody have that pulled up, the playoffs? Just kind of hit that highlight real quick, and then we'll get to the championship.
Yeah, I'll get it. Let me see.
So,
playoff bracket. For the
first time, though, the first four seeded byes ended up losing. So we'll let you hit that up real quick for us.
Boom. So, who was Arizona State, Oregon, Boise State, and Georgia all had the byes. So, Notre Dame went on to beat Indiana. They faced number two Georgia. Penn State went on to beat SMU in a very lackluster performance by SMU. And Penn State went on to face Boise State. Ohio State completely throttled Tennessee, went on to face Oregon in a rematch from their midseason throwdown. And then Texas went on to beat Clemson to face Arizona State in their next round.
Yeah.
So, in round two, you had Texas, Arizona State, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, Boise State, Notre Dame, Georgia. Ohio State went on to beat the number one team, Oregon, by 20, 41-21. Notre Dame went on to beat the Carson Beck list, didn't really matter, Georgia Bulldogs, 23-10. Penn State went on to beat Alshon Jeanty and Boise State, 31-14. And Texas went on to beat Cam Scataboo and Arizona State, 39-31, in a heck of a two overtime game.
I think that was the game of the playoffs so far.
Oh, absolutely. That was like the championship. That is a championship game of what
that
you
was
see.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was definitely the best one for our group text, too. We had some fun there.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Mr. OU just couldn't cheer for you.
I just stirring that pot. I was every text I sent, I was just dying laughing. I was like, I really hope they're not like really taking it serious, because I'm just like over here just stirring the pot.
You knew what my response was going to be right before you said it. It was like, I'm going to stir him up really good here. Like, yeah.
That was targeting. No, it wasn't. Not anywhere close.
What are you talking about? Did they call it? No.
And then something happens the other way, and I'm like, oh, that's targeting.
Oh, man. Oh, and then we move on to round three. The Cotton Bowl was Ohio State, Texas. You know, that game, we'll get into that in a second. And then the Orange Bowl was Notre Dame, Penn State. That Ohio State, Texas game, even though it was 28-14, felt like a classic. You know, and I feel like Sarkisian got cute down inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah,
trying to do some sort of jet sweep on the short side of the field, you lose 10 yards, and then you roll out and pass away from the best defensive, one of the best defensive players on Ohio State. You can't see it coming, and then just a strip sack all the way to the house. That's all she wrote. Texas had the momentum in that game. You know, they had a couple instances in which they should have converted. You know, a wide open receiver downfield just completely drops it. Fourth down play for a first, and or a third down for a first, and they end up having to punt. But that game right there is indicative of things to come for those two teams.
Mm. Sarkisian just signed a 7-year extension. They haven't put any pen to paper with money, but I think he's going to agree to stay there for another 7 years. So they'll be a force to reckon with for the next, you know, almost decade for sure.
What do you think? $70 million deals? It'll be 10 a year.
I mean, with the money that Texas produces, I'm sure it'll be nothing short of.
Yeah, it might even be tiered, like out the gate, 10 a year. I don't know if they pay guarantees up front or not. I'm sure it tiers up somewhere in the 15 to 20 range at the end.
Yeah, I agree. And it could be one of those deals where it turns into, you know, you make the playoffs, you get this much more. You win the conference, you get this. You know, you make the second round, you get this on top of that. You win the championship, and you get this.
Yeah, bunch of incentives, I'm sure.
Burnt orange Lambo.
He has one?
Oh, that would be a great incentive.
Oh, gotcha. That's the incentive. Yeah.
Is that one of their NIL deals? Is where the Texas Longhorns with Lamborghini of Austin?
I think so. That was a recruiting tool. They had him walk through the parking lot, and it was like every other player had one or something like that.
Yeah.
And then in Notre Dame. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say that was a 14-point swing where they're on their 1-yard line, 3-yard line, whatever, and then had that strip sack, and he goes down and scores. You know, they're on the front boards of scoring and tying the game up, and then it turns into a 14-point spread.
Yeah. Put Arch in there. Use his legs. You know, do something different. Put both quarterbacks in there. I don't care what you do. Go muscle on muscle, man on man. Push it. Something. Get in the end zone. Don't be cute.
Well, the Arch Manning era has officially begun. You're declaring for the NFL, which I don't think is financially a good move, you know, where he's missing out on about $8 million guaranteed if he goes somewhere compared to his $450,000 salary if he gets signed in the first round. So, I mean, he'll have the signing bonus, but I don't see him going top three quarterbacks. There's two or three more that might go before him, but.
Yeah, but I think this is him hitting his the top. He's been a bit of a glass cannon there at UT, susceptible to injuries and probably weighing that risk of, hey, if I go one more year at Texas with that SEC deep out there and I get walloped once, my NFL career might be non-existent. So let's go ahead and enter. Arch is here. And I know you're talking about the $8 million that he left on the table with some unnamed team to go play quarterback for him. I'm sure somebody in Austin slipped him $5, $6 million to get out. Could have been Arch Manning.
And I think it's one of those deals, too, as a personal decision as well. You know, he had a heck of a run in Texas. You know, set some records, did whatever he did. You know, we like to complain about him, but he's a good quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
He was able to play, and that's what he said. He was like, I turned it down because I wanted my name to be associated with Texas. I didn't want to go somewhere else. I didn't want to do this or that. And that's respectable. If that's the case, salute you, young man. Good for you. Hope you have a great career in the NFL.
I just think I'd rather make $8 million at the college level instead of getting blasted by NHL.
Listen, I'm not saying I would have done that.
For like $1 million, you know, like that ain't worth it. I ain't gonna get killed for $600,000.
Shoot, I'll go out there, take a hit, say I got a concussion, I can't play, and then and then
take your signing bonus and go.
Yeah, exactly.
But
he wasn't gonna be able to come back to Texas. They had already said it's Arch's time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know he didn't really play people when he came in and played, but he showed what he's capable of. You're still playing against D1 college athletes. You know, and when you're down your ultimate leader on offense, your quarterback, it's easy for a team to fall apart. And Texas didn't do that. They're like, well, we got Arch. Now we got Arch.
Yeah.
They trusted him. They had faith in him, and they went and played.
Yeah, he's going to be good for sure. It's going to be scary having him back there, and he gets the reps behind him. I think they showed in that one game he played. He got up to like, what, 20-something miles an hour sprinting on what 20, he got?
22, 3 or something like that?
I think it was 2, yeah, something like that. Guys got talent. I'm surprised he stayed. I guess he's just making that much money to not do anything until he gets to step up now and play 2 years and go to the NFL draft and, you know.
I think Peyton and Eli had something to do with that, too. It's like, you know, you made a commitment to do this. And we're not going to be one of those guys that just flees because we're not getting what we want.
I mean, are those the two?
Didn't
Peyton go back to Tennessee one more year for because he didn't want to get drafted by somebody or something? I mean, that's not two best guys to be.
And that's how Rivers ended up in San Diego.
Yeah.
And Eli ended up in New York. So it's.
Yeah.
But it's not like. Yeah, Peyton went back for one more year. I mean, it worked out for him, but it wasn't like he was demanding all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really want. There's a potential I get drafted by this team. I want to go do even better this year and get drafted by this team. Okay.
Yeah. I think he's going to be great down there, especially in that organization. They're going to be scary for the next 2 years or however long he sticks around for.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'd like to see that young man play 2 full years of college football and just see his ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's big enough. He's sturdy enough. He ought to stay healthy, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big old boy. For sure. So
and I think these two years of him sitting back there and watching, lifting weights, eating, having a good diet, and getting bigger, better, stronger. It's going to pay dividends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it usually seems to be better for these players, you know, the ones that sit behind somebody for at least a year, maybe two. You throw these true freshmen in there, man, and they get tore up or get form bad habits or get too shaken up to reach their full potential. And now you got somebody that's behind, you're behind a hearers, you know, that's a great guy to learn behind and a successful guy. And in that program, I mean, you're just set up for success.
And my feelings on yours is he was not completely healthy from that abdominal injury that he had. You can tell in the way he threw the ball. He wasn't stepping into it and letting it go. It looked like a lot of things floated. It looked like he was just kind of uncomfortable to throw sometimes. And
Is that karma from the Dr. Pepper commercial? Or he doesn't need any backup, and then as soon as that commercial comes out, he gets hurt for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Oh, I'm
like,
man.
Probably shouldn't have, you know, tested the old football gods there. They're going to come back and make you wish you didn't do that.
Yep.
But, yeah, great games. I mean, other than Oregon State, Ohio State looked terrible. I don't know how Oregon and Ohio State, I don't know how they came out so flat, and it just looked brutal from the beginning, from the get-go. Your top four seeds not having a win, the ones that had byes, I think I mentioned something about that. I said that might be detrimental. I mean, it's helpful to get your guys healthy, but it's detrimental because I know if you're not playing, you know, you kind of lose that groove. Does the CFP reconfigure that or kind of do like an NFL where they reseed? Do you think they keep the same format for years to come or what? What's your guys' thoughts?
Hard to say. I mean, it's the first year. I like this outcome, though, and I think it proves why the CFP is so – was such, you know, everybody was wanted the CFP and they wanted this type of format was so we didn't see a number one and number two seed in the national championship. And those teams like Florida State, maybe from last year, gets a shot in there to go and play for a national championship. And I think, you know, it shows the team build, you know, and the resilience to go through all these several games. And they, I mean, to take out Georgia, to take out the teams that they did to get here is impressive. And the way they've put this together now, I don't think anybody can debate this outcome, whoever wins, Ohio State or Notre Dame, that they're not truly the best team in the country.
You also give the benefit of the doubt for like an Ohio State to where that loss to Michigan probably would have pushed them out of a 14 CFP, pushed them down to 6 or 7 or whatever they're ranked now. But then again, they get to show that, hey, we just need a chance to beat a Tennessee, to beat a Oregon, you know, number one team in the nation, Oregon, and then to take on Notre Dame in the championship. I think that's what's the beauty of it. And who was that commentator that made a not so smart comment that said the playoffs don't show the true teams or whatever? And everybody was like, "That's exactly what playoffs is meant to do."
Yeah, it sounds like a Cam Newton comment.
Yeah, I don't think it was him, but it was somebody, and I was reading that, and I was like, how does this guy have a job, you know? But, yeah, like the 12 teams, I love the 12 teams. I just don't know how the bye is going to play in effect, you know. Like it is, you're playing for the bye week so you can have extra rest and extra preparation.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
preparation, but you don't really get to prep for one specific team for 2 whole weeks or 3 or 4 whole weeks, you know, however long that is, that waiting time, because you either team could win.
So when you talk about reseeding, effectively you're talking about the top seed will always play the lower ranked seed.
Yeah, just like the NFL does it, you know, when, like you said, if the lower seed wins out of a first round, they'll go on to play the number one seed, you know. So Oregon probably would have played, who was the lower seed? Was it Ohio State? Was Ohio State the lower seed? Or
I think Ohio State's number 8.
Yeah, so that one worked out.
We have an 8 and a 7 playing each other.
It's amazing. And an independent. That's caused some controversy.
So how do you feel if you have an issue like this? Because you could have very easily had another Big Ten matchup. What if, in this situation, if whenever they're seeding the brackets and everything else, you do it to where, say, you know, SEC has 2 teams, Big 12 has a team, and then an independent. You have, ACC and Big Ten both have some teams, and maybe another independent. Just throw that in there. I think you got to put the same conferences on the same side of the bracket, so you can't have that inter-conference showdown that everybody would be annoyed to see, in my opinion. I mean, that's how NFL does it. You have conferences. You break it down that way, so you can't have the Chiefs and Bills, you know? Mm-hmm. You can't have the same conference representing one side.
Yeah.
So should you have it east and west of the Mississippi? Is this the first time that somebody from the east side of the Mississippi won't win the national championship in how many years? Matt, you had a stat.
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look that up. I can't remember. It's been a while. I think the east side's been more dominant, right?
I mean, yeah.
Alabama.
Yeah.
LSU. Georgia.
Yeah.
Clemson.
You know, you got to go back to, 2005 to find UT when they played USC.
Mm-hmm. I think they were the last ones to win it west of the Mississippi.
Well, I hope my geography's right, too.
But no, it's been a hot minute. The majority of them has been. They even drew a circle, and it was like within the circle has been the last 10 out of 12 championships or something like that. And it was like LSU, Alabama. But no, I don't have that image brought up right now, but. There it is. A team west of the Mississippi River has not won the FBS since 2005, which was, I think, USC.
Yeah, the USC, Texas.
So both these teams are east.
That was the Vince Young, wasn't it?
Yeah. Or was that, yeah, Vince Young, okay, in Texas. Okay, so yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they, both these teams, east of the Mississippi, so we're going to continue that stat. They're doing a poll, said Ohio State. Everybody that voted, you know, 68% had Ohio State winning compared to Notre Dame's 32. So, a couple fun facts about this, though, since we're getting into the Ohio State-Notre Dame championship game. OSU hasn't won a national championship in 3,660 days. Notre Dame's last championship came 13,166 days ago.
That's crazy.
So everybody's coming out of the woodworks for Notre Dame, hoping they're winning it. You know, they're kind of definitely the underdogs in this match. I think they were showing the pregame show, game day, and I think all of them across the board went Ohio State. So setting up for a big upset for Notre Dame. The last meeting was 1936 between these two teams was the last meeting. Notre Dame won 7-2. So
nice.
First rematch since 1936.
It says Notre Dame head coach Marcus Freeman played 5 seasons at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Was he a linebacker or was he
linebacker?
Yeah, linebacker.
Yeah.
Played a little NFL, but he didn't I don't think he was a starter.
He's my second favorite head coach.
Dude, yeah, he's a good hire. He's He
works
pretty
out.
Solid iron. He does work out, and he's
that hairline.
He's just so hot, not so hot.
Yeah, that's why he's number two.
I love it. That one will never get old. Ohio State, man. Everybody had them down and out after the Michigan game, and I guess that's kind of what lit the fire underneath them, losing that, and gone on to win three straight, or two straight, three straight, three, right? This will be the fourth one. They've won three straight. They beat Tennessee.
Tennessee, Oregon.
That's it? Okay, so that'll be and UT.
Yeah, so this will be short.
Yeah. I mean, you beat those three teams. You know, everybody but the alumni forget about the Michigan loss. But they're looking solid. They do look like the best team right now out of everybody. But like you said, nothing. Is the Notre Dame quarterback, is he still hurt? Or is he coming back? Or is he going to make it? I know that backup came in during the semifinals. And he actually did pretty good for backup.
I'm not sure. I do see Ohio State has the number one defense, and Notre Dame has number two in points allowed and yards against.
I thought... you're talking about Riley Leonard?
I think so. I can't remember who it was that went out.
Yeah, that's... I mean, he came back because... Angeli only had seven attempts.
Gotcha.
Completed six of them, 44 yards. But yeah, I think Leonard came back because he's 15 of 23, 223, a touchdown.
Gotcha. I just didn't know. I remember that backup came in and he tore it up for a little bit, kind of helped him out. But yeah, it should be a solid game. I'm excited about it. I'm going to have to pause it and watch it because I got a lesson I'm going to. So don't mention anything in the group text.
I got one at 7:30 as well.
Yeah, so. I got one from 6:30 to 7:30, and it starts, 6:30 Eastern time?
Mm-hmm.
Or 7:30 Eastern time?
7:30 Eastern.
So it'll be right at 6:30. I'm going to try to record it or pause it or something so I can watch it and catch up with all the commercials. But yeah, Ohio State's the favorite. They're looking great. Notre Dame's been looking pretty good too. I mean, with I think they should have been undefeated, to be honest with you. They had that fluke loss against Northern Illinois at home. So Notre Dame should have been, like I said, undefeated. But I think that loss kind of lit a fire underneath them. And nowadays with this 12 teams, you don't have to – one game doesn't end your whole season. But yeah. We got two teams that are what was their ranking coming into the playoffs? Yeah, that still pulled up.
Who's that?
Notre Dame and Ohio State. Ohio State was eight, wasn't it?
And Notre Dame was a seven.
So 7-8 is what you said. Okay. So 7-8, not your typical championship, you know, you're 1, 2, 3, 4.
You can make an argument for Ohio State being the best team in the country. They had those weeks where it's just like, oh my goodness, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were very electric offense. It's like they were lackluster. It's like they knew they were that good. They just like, yeah, we're going to beat them. Okay, whatever. And then you get upset.
Yeah. Who are you guys liking for this game?
Ohio State. I did see that Notre Dame's running back, Love, is dealing with a knee injury. So trying to get some injury updates there.
And Notre Dame also has one of their top linemen that's out. Offensive lineman. He missed last week. And apparently it's a pretty big deal. And you could kind of see it on the line for Notre Dame playing Penn State. Or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think Ohio State's just on too much of a roll. They're on too much to show what they're made of, and you know they're rallying behind their head coach.
Yeah,
and I'm not trying to discount Notre Dame at all. That you know, but if both defenses show up the way they should, it'll be a fun game.
That's gonna be a knockdown, drag out, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, what's his name? For a day, he's going to get to keep his job, huh? They're trying to question that.
If he wins.
You think he's still, if he doesn't win, he doesn't?
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, he'll probably keep his job.
Yeah.
If he'd have been one and done in the playoffs, he'd have been axed already, landing somewhere else.
Yeah. Like I said, Ohio State's definitely playing the best ball. I'm definitely going to be rooting for Notre Dame, but like I said, I think I didn't give them a shot during my predictions, but I see Ohio State probably taking it if they just play the way they have through this whole playoffs. They got Ohio State, I think, favored by 8.5. And then they got the over-under at 46.5, so they got pretty low-scoring game, under 23 per team, which is the CBS prediction. I don't know what lines and stats have been updated or whatnot, but it's just the first one I've seen.
Yeah. And so he has LSU by 9 on ESPN.
By 9, yeah. So I think it'll be closer than that, the spread, but I could see it being, 3 or 4, maybe, is what my guess is.
Yeah. And trust me, I bet if Day would have gotten fired, LSU would be having a brand new head coach right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They probably would have flip-flop coaches.
Yeah. I'm going to say 27-24 Ohio State. That's my guess. I'm sticking to it. OSU.
That's a good one. I think OSU runs away with it. I'm going to go with 35-17 Ohio State.
Man, 30-18.
Notre Dame?
No.
That's did one.
No,
assume.
It's going to be 3-2
did
this time.
Yeah, 3-2 instead of 7-2 like their last matchup back in 1936. Mm. How wild would it be if it ended up 7-2 Notre Dame?
What if it was 2-0?
2-0, that'd be wild.
Dude, that would be an awful game to watch.
Oh, terrible. Yeah, I'm hoping it's up in the 30s. 30s would be nice. I like the 30, 18, 35, 17. But
is the block kick return, is it still 1 point? Or is that just NFL?
For field goals, isn't it?
Like extra,
that's the guy, the extra point, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, it could be like
trying to say, well, if it was like 6-1,
yeah, 6-1, that'd be wild. Yeah, it'd be weird. So, we got some good games coming up, playoffs and CFP, and looking forward to some good football. And then after this, I guess I'll just have to watch the USFL. To get your football kicks in, I guess.
So, does anybody know what happens in roughly 20 days?
I know. I'm going to see if Trey knows. I know.
I'm going to guess catchers and pitchers report to spring training.
Yes.
And in less days than that, college baseball starts up. I think it's 13th, 14th, 15th or something like that.
Already 31 days, the official start of spring training.
Nice.
Now we can talk about real sports.
Yeah. Hey, you got some college baseball coming down to Arlington around Valentine's Day. I think it's OSU, Louisville, Texas, Arizona. They got about 10 or 12 teams that are going to be playing down there. And
playing now, when you say OSU, there's three different ones.
Your OSU. Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
The Oklahoma State. Okay.
Maybe they won't lose 9 in a row. Maybe they won't go 3-0 then lose 9 in a row.
Pistols firing. So we'll get into some of those talks after all this settles down. I promise
if
you guys
can work it out, sit up on the concourse and just sit there for a game and go on our own like commentary.
I'd be game. We can do a game within the game. We can go live on our channels,
Right.
I'm still making plans to try to come down there. We'll see if it works out. So I'll be down that way and go see my old coach Dan McDonald down there with Louisville.
Okay, that was a little holiday.
Yeah,
the holiday boys.
We can go interview him for an episode, Like, start rolling with getting
Matt interviews. Or his brother.
All of them. We'll get them all. Yeah. Whole family sit down. Like, start getting interviews going. You know, we'll get Billy on soon. I'll try to find a way to get Hal on and, like, start doing some interviews. And then we're going to try to get around some NBA, too, sometime. I know we've been neglecting that for a while. But this is kind of just a specific one for this weekend with the playoffs going on, trying to make this a specific episode for those two for just football only. And then we'll start jumping into some other sports once this settles down.
Absolutely.
Yeah, March is right around the corner, too, for college basketball.
College basketball, too.
Basketball? They still play that?
Yeah.
I thought you said women's basketball, my bad.
Oh, yeah. They're gonna
jump. That's what you watch, but...
They just watch out. It's been predicted that they're going to jump. WNBA is going to jump MLB on making more money.
Yeah, and LeBron claimed that NBA took over football on Christmas Day. Okay.
Yeah. That one comment was Cam Newton. There's your Cam Newton quote.
Oh, yeah.
He said, yeah.
That clown. February 9th is the Super Bowl.
February 9th.
Mark it.
February 9th. Sounds like a good one. We can come back then, either before or after, with predictions and
I say we do it Super Bowl because then we'd have the college championship would have wrapped up.
Yeah.
You know, we do it before, we talk about that, and then we talk about the championship rounds going into the Super Bowl.
Yep. I got our scores wrote down so we can make fun of who was way off.
Okay.
Probably
Notre Dame's gonna win and we're all screwed. So.
Right.
But
6-1.
Yep, 6-1. Gonna run back a field goal, block field goal for extra point. Whoa. So yep. Solid episode, guys. Good getting back together and chatting about sports. Always a fun time. Be safe out there with this weather coming in. Y'all getting some snow down south.
Maybe. Yeah, that's what I heard. My brother was saying, predicting like 4 inches in Houston. So I asked him if he had gone to the grocery store and wiped him out of water and everything.
Yeah.
That's what she said, just 4 inches.
They're going to lose their minds.
Well, I don't think we're supposed to get any precipitation here until Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be rain.
Yeah. Well, if it freezes, be safe. Have a good time. And we'll try to get back before Super Bowl.
Heck yeah.
Episode. So, solid CFP, solid NFL playoff talk. Like I said, everybody's interested, comment on Instagram Messenger is probably our best bet to get a hold of us. If you have any questions or anything you want to talk about or anything we should talk about or any suggestions, whatnot. I do have some apparel. Did you ever get your hat fixed?
I haven't yet.
See, that's all I've been doing. It's been sitting in the closet. I'm like, I'm going to get to it. And then I just don't want to screw it up when I try to end up doing it. But, yeah, got some light apparel maybe. If anybody's interested, let us know. We'll get you some. But thanks for joining in, and hope you enjoyed the episode.
Absolutely. Good times. Good company. Fun convos.
Oh, yeah. Y'all have a good one, all right?
You too, boys. Stay warm.
All right. See you.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.